Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. It's Tail Dragger at Cook County Jail on Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yeah. And we have in the studio, we have Martin Lang, Tail Dragger's harmonica player. How you doing?
I'm great.
Tail Dragger's caught in traffic.
I guess so. Yeah.
So, first of all, tell us who Tail Dragger is and why he got the name Tail Dragger.
He's a Chicago blues singer in the old style. He sings a lot like the older singers used to sing. How he got that name?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well,
it's pertinent.
The story he tells is that Howlin' Wolf gave him that name, the famous singer. Who, you know, Tail Dragger was Howlin' Wolf's biggest fan. I mean, he went to every single show that he could in Chicago, and Wolf named him Tail Dragger because he was always late and because his timing is slow.
Yeah. And Tail Dragger 77.
Yeah.
He's been playing around town for a long time. Do you know when he told me he came here and went in the Army, and then he settled here in the 60s?
68, I think he was here permanently.
Right.
Yeah.
How'd you meet him?
I can't remember the first time I met Tail Dragger, but I had heard of his name for a while. I met him at the Delta Fish Market, I think, is where I first saw him. I had heard of him, like I said. Tail Dragger's initial impression was the same as he is with everybody who's a bigger-than-life guy, but yeah. I think it was at the fish market.
And tell us, there's so many components to this story, so let's start with the Delta Fish Market. Tell the listeners what the Delta Fish Market was. I think his role in that is really interesting, how he actually went and got the fish.
Yeah, it was a big outdoor fish market where you could buy live fish, fresh fish, or you could buy cooked fish. They'd sell it on a sandwich for you. They also sold liquor, beer, and half pints and stuff. And they had a bandstand out in the parking lot. It was on Jackson and Kedzie on the west side, the Fifth City. And there was always a crowd there and all weekend long. And they had live music. They had a bandstand there. And Tail Dragger was good friends with the owner, whose name was Oliver Davis, Fishman.
Fishman.
Yeah. And Tail Dragger and Fishman had an arrangement worked out where Tail Dragger would drive a truck down to Mississippi, fill it up with catfish, and then drive it back up to Chicago. And they'd sell the fish at the Delta Fish Market. And, it was amazing. They had these big concrete, like, tubs. They looked like sarcophagi filled with water with these giant catfish in them. And you point for one you want, you know.
And who were some of you musicians that hang out there? I'm looking through my notes here. Well, Sonny Lion Slim.
Yeah, everybody.
Honey Boy Edwards.
Everybody, yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely everybody. The stories, the fish market, you could bump into Brewer Phillips, who played guitar behind Hound Dog Taylor. Yeah, and, anybody, Sonny Land, Jimmy Davis, Maxwell Street, Jimmy Davis. I mean, you'd always bump into, you know, there are stories of Jimmy, Eddie Taylor used to play there with Tail Dragger and, you know.
And tell us who Eddie Taylor, senior and junior, Eddie Taylor senior was with Jimmy Reed, right?
Oh, yeah. He had his own great recordings. He was probably the most influential guitarist in Chicago blues history. And it was Eddie Taylor. He taught Freddie King and Magic Sam. And, you know, he had a lot of disciples. Lurie Bell learned a lot from Eddie Taylor. Yeah. He was a big guy. But the fish market was this place where you could go and meet these famous old blues guys and play. And Tail Dragger, they'd start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, play till 3 in the morning, man. Do 12 sets.
Isn't that something?
You know.
Isn't that something? So, we're at the Delta Fish Market in July 1993, and there's a blues guy named Boston Blackie.
Yeah.
And so tell us that story.
Yeah, Blackie.
When we'll get Tail Dragger, we were just talking during the break, maybe early June you guys can come in with the band.
Yeah.
Tail Dragger. He can tell the story in his own words. But well, so him and Boston Blackie weren't getting along.
No, there was a really bad misunderstanding. Blackie was not a dude that was difficult to argue with. And he was a big dude and I was there the day preceding the night in which the shooting happened. And
the shooting?
Yeah. The Tail Dragger killed Blackie. Shot him.
Shot him.
In the left eye.
Left eye.
Yeah.
He was very... Did you hear him talk to me at the jail the other day? And he's not in jail. We're going to get to that. He's performing at the jail.
Right.
But he was very very descriptive about it.
Yeah.
Went in the eye and out the back of the head.
Right. Yeah, they went over that at the trial.
Yeah.
He... He shot him once.
Uh-huh.
And it was after a prolonged period of hostility between the two guys. And, you know, I hadn't known Ted Record to carry a gun before since that happened. So, you know, anyhow, it was a tough spot for me because I was in a band at the time. I was playing for Ted. When I first started with Ted Record, I was in two bands. One with Tail Dragger and the other with Boston Blackie's brother, whose name was Milton Houston, who's a great guitar player, called the Midnight Ramblers, which was Kansas City Red's old outfit. And I played, that was the first band I ever worked with. So I had these two families, and they'd sit on separate sides of the courtroom, and I'd switch sides.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, on different days. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. And no hard feelings.
So if you want to, our friend John Saul, a great friend of the show, and I've collaborated with a lot. There's some great video. It's going to be on the WGN website in probably, I'd say, by Tuesday, of the concert at Cook County Jail and Tail Dragger talking about this incident, among other things. And we'll also have a story and the video at DaveHoekstra.com. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. I want to talk about the other parts of Chicago history. This story touches Mr. Patner and stuff like that. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. That's Martin Lang on harmonica. You joined Tail Dragger in 93, you told me?
I think it was around there, 1994. I did a couple of gigs with him before he actually, you know, started using me. You know, Tail Dragger used a bunch of different hard players when I first met him.
And you're very, tell me what you learned from, I've just gotten to know you guys a little bit, but what you, the relationship you guys have seems very special. You know, you say he's changed my life forever.
Yeah,
I mean, what'd you learn from him?
Well, I mean, a lot of things, but one of the things, the biggest thing I learned from Tail Dragger, I think, had to do with time in music and using it and trusting the form of the music that we play, which is blues, you know, rather than, you know. What the biggest thing I learned from him was to let go and to stop trying to force things to work the way I want them to work and just allow the music to breathe and play and get out of its way. It turns out that blues music that Tail Dragger and his fellow artists from his day, his colleagues, made this type of music is such a fantastic form that it doesn't require a great deal of input from me to be great. I just need to know when to put in the right stuff and when to lay out. And that's old stuff. And Tail Dragger just repeated that to me over and over again for like 20 years, Dave. I mean, he just kept saying it over and over and over again. And that's one of the things about Tail Dragger. You're talking about me and Tail Dragger. I mean, he just kept doing it. There was something about, I mean, he, for some reason, he kept saying the same thing over. Take your time, he'd say, and listen to the drums. Listen to the beat, the rhythm of the music, and play. Tail Dragger had been saying that. I had this big Satori moment in a hotel after a gig one night. You know, I was soaking wet, and I'd been trying to force the guys to play right. They had these big Marshall amps, and, you know, we were in Minneapolis, and it was freezing cold. And I'm laying in this bed soaking wet, man, after the gig. And I realized I was the one paying the price for trying to force everybody to play. You know, I'd knock myself out trying to get these guys to play. So then all of a sudden, I realized Tail Dragger had been telling me what to do all along for, like, years. He'd been saying, just... you know, lay back, and this music will play itself, man.
And your tones, you said he wants his harp deep,
yeah.
Dark, and heavy.
Yeah, that's a specific Tail Dragger requirement.
It is.
Yeah, there's different ways to play harp. There's different, you know, you can get different sound out of it depending on how you play it. Tail Dragger happens to like a really heavy, dark sound, And that's good, I think. You know, that's what I like.
Now, you got gigs coming up? I know you're playing the Blues Fest.
Yeah, I usually find out who I'm going to be with at the Blues Festival close to, you know, like a week before the Blues Festival. But I'm certainly be with Willie. By coming up on Tuesday, actually, me and Taildragger are at the Waterhole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what he's been talking about lately.
What time do you go on then?
I think it's 9 o'clock.
That's a good place.
Yeah, it's a little place.
Yeah. South near South Side.
Yeah,
you know the address. I don't have the address.
It's I don't know what it is offhand.
Yeah,
1400 something Western.
Well, anyway, then how did the Cook County gig come up? The Cook County Jail gig.
Well, actually, I realized that it had been 25 years since Taildragger had been there, and so I called the jail and I told them who I was and who Taildragger was, and they liked the idea, and that was how it happened. You know, I mean, I knew that Taildragger would see this as a special gig because he's like that. I mean, Taildragger still, his first love is playing on the west side at the little clubs on the west side, which he does very, very rarely.
How many of those are even left?
Very few.
We've talked about him on the show, but I couldn't even tell you.
I don't know that there's, I couldn't call the name of one of them right now. Maybe here and there. I could be wrong about that, but we haven't played out there in a very long time. And that's just, so the jail gig was a rare opportunity for Taildragger to play for people that he feels like understands his music. You know?
So there were about 150 inmates were there. Again, you want to see this and learn more about it, it'll be at the WGN website, Nocturnal Journal, and also DaveHoekstra.com. So it was 150 people. It was a great set. One of my favorite calls was "My Head Is Bald."
Oh yeah,
I was off in a corner there when he did "My Head Is Bald." He kind of was serenading one of the female prison guards, right? Pick up the story.
That was
very playful.
Yeah, that is pure Taildragger, and that was like the whole thing right there. I mean, he just went over and started. He's got this kind of really disarming way of doing that. It's sort of a self-deprecating way of doing that, but he's very sincere at the same time. So, you know, people love it, and they loved it. I mean, they went nuts when he started doing that. You know, of course, Taildragger finds the only female in the room. When we played with him at Lincoln, when he was locked up downstate, he was doing that to the warden, who was female.
Yeah.
So
he did, his journey was, he did about a week while he was getting processed. He was at Cook County for about a week.
Right.
Then he went down to Lincoln.
Right.
And how long did he serve?
17 months and 3 days, I think it was.
17 months and 3 days. And I'm just, again, another part of Chicago history. I didn't know you were roommates with his son, but talk about Mr. Patner and his role in this.
He played a huge role in the outcome, I think. At the time of the shooting, my roommate was Marshall Patner's youngest son.
Marshall Patner was the attorney.
Yeah. And he's a very famous Chicago lawyer who, you know, he's the reason you can eat out on the sidewalk in Chicago. He sued the city so that you could eat outdoors.
Yeah.
And he represented Jeff Fort from the Blackstone Rangers. He did a lot.
In some of my notes here, he won 1969 arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court that upheld a client's right to publicly protest persistent segregation in Chicago schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
So he took Taildragger on pro bono.
He did, yeah. Taildragger wasn't quite on his feet at the time. And we called him up, and his dad agreed to do it. And I think if Taildragger had been in another situation, there's no guarantee that he would have gotten what he got, which he got lucky.
So legally, I don't understand a lot of the process, but tell me how he changed the plea.
Well, I think it was
Mr.
Patner. There was some kind of movement that allowed the jury to consider the charge of if they couldn't find Taildragger innocent completely. Because of self-defense, which it became clearer as time went on that they weren't going to be able to convince the jury that that was going to happen, then the jury would be permitted to consider the lesser charge of, I guess it was voluntary manslaughter or second degree, which is when you fire a pistol at somebody not necessarily intending to kill them.
Yeah. Well, he was, and this is in the court, I read about the court records. He, Boston Blackie was coming at him. I've seen two things. One was a knife, one was a pipe.
Yeah, well.
But he was coming after Tail Dragger.
Right, well.
And Tail Dragger, in the interview we did the other day, John Salt, I mean, you can see it, Tail Dragger said he was scared.
Oh, he was.
And he, Blackie was hassling him for a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. Tail Dragger was definitely scared. And I saw Blackie that day, you know, that was the last day of his life. I saw him walking around the sidewalk carrying a pipe. But I, as I say, it happened, the shooting itself happened in the wee hours the following
day. Yeah, yeah. You know. We're going to take one quick break before we wrap it up. We'll be back with Martin Lang and the story of Tail Dragger on WGN. Excellent, excellent. That's Tail Dragger at Cook County Jail with John Saul's audio. I want to really thank John. What would you know that number, Buffy?
Yeah, that's Cold Ground's My Bed.
Yeah. Wow, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, he's such a, that's why I want to, I'll go pick him up when we do the show next, but he's such a gentle soul. He really is. He really is. He gets his boots at Alcala's Western Wear. He's got the cowboy hat.
Yeah, that's his style.
Yeah, yeah. And they're doing a documentary.
Yeah.
We were the only media people there.
Right, right.
WGN. And then the documentary, you said they've been working on it for years.
Yeah, for quite a while they've been working on that.
It's a great Chicago story. I mean, you've been around town for a long time. Is there anybody with this type of colorful resume?
No, Tail Dragger's quite, you know, he's always been that way. You know? Tail Dragger, you know, he walks in the room, he fills up, takes up all the air. You
know? Okay, well, thank you all for listening to Nocturnal Journal. Thanks, Martin Lang, for coming by. Tell Tail Dragger we say hi. Thanks, our studio audience, Mike Morosky. Thanks, Ben Anderson. Thanks, Dan Long, wherever you are. We'll see you back next week on WGN.